I'm curious this morning to know if any of you have nightmares that are similar to mine. Most of my bad dreams and nightmares are usually inspired by just about the same thing. Let me show you a picture of what it is that gives me nightmares. Take a look at this and tell me if you know what that is. Just say it out loud, anybody. IKEA. I heard it right there. IKEA instructions. These things are literally the worst. And these are the things that give me nightmares. And much to my disappointment, it seems like these are the types of instructions for most pieces of furniture this day, regardless of where it is that you buy them. I guess when you buy furniture as cheap as I do, this is just the kind of punishment that you deserve. Okay, and that's what it feels like when I'm assembling these things. Punishment, absolute punishment. And let me just say, I'm not exactly proud of this, but let me just say that with it, the best version of me isn't necessarily on display when I'm putting together these types of furniture. Anyone else willing to admit that the best version of you is not necessarily on display when you're putting together things like this? There's a couple hands going. Okay. These things are the worst. In fact, I remember when I was 22 years old, and I just moved out to Loveland, Colorado, where my older brother lived, and I was getting ready to set up my new apartment, right? My very first place out on my own, because I was a big boy now, all grown up. And so I'm setting up my new place, and I started unpacking the new TV stand that my family had given me as a gift before I set out for Colorado. And I was so excited. This was just going to be the most perfect, perfect addition to my new apartment. And so I opened the box and I emptied out all of the pieces, and then I reached for the instructions, and that's when horror struck that day in Loveland, Colorado, because the instructions that I pulled out looked eerily similar to these ones that were on the screen. So what did I do? I did what any 22-year-old living on his own grown man would do. I called my older brother and I said, "Bryce, can you come help me put this thing together?" And so thankfully, my big brother came to rescue me and helped me to assemble my new TV stand. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I see instructions like these, I start to squirm. I mean, I start to squirm in my seat. I'm not comfortable with it. My handyman skills or lack thereof are well documented here around Mid-Current Church. I'm not very comfortable with it. I'm not confident about it. I'm not good at it. I'm always nervous, and inevitably I make some kind of mistake in the process. I just do not like these kind of instructions. And I think that the same thing is true for many of us when it comes to some of the instructions that Jesus passes on to us. In fact, there's a set of instructions that Jesus gives that makes most of us start to squirm too. And these instructions can be summed up by what is known as the Great Commission. Okay, here's the instructions that he gives to those of us who know and follow him. We read it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you," right? So before Jesus' time on earth is finished, this is the one final set of instructions that he passes on to his disciples, and therefore that he passes on to you and me as well. He says, "Hey, go and tell other people, go and tell more people about me. Teach people about who I am and about what I'm all about. Tell them what I've done for you and help them to know and to follow me true." These instructions from Jesus to those of us who follow him, they actually have a big and fancy, kind of scary sounding name. You ready for it? Right? This idea that we would let our friends in on who Jesus is, it's called evangelism. Right? And when most of us hear that evangelism is something that we're supposed to be a part of, when we hear that this set of instructions is meant for us to carry out too, we start to squirm. Right? We're not comfortable with it. We're not very confident about it. We think we're not good at it. We're sure we won't get it right, or that we'll mess something up or do something wrong along the way. In fact, if I took a poll here this morning, I think that we would find that most of us would rather have a root canal than let our friends in on the relationship that we are forming with Jesus. It's like root canal or tell my friends about Jesus. We're going, "Yeah, I think I'll go root canal on this one." Right? So many of us, we just get really, really, really uneasy about this whole thing. But this morning, I want to say, I don't think it has to be that way. And so that's why we're starting today a brand new message series, a three-week message series called Spread the Word, right? It's all about sharing your faith made easy. And so we want to take the next 3 weeks. We want to take the next 3 weeks to help you learn some ways to follow these instructions from Jesus in the most simple and most powerful ways. Because for many of you here this morning, right, you've told me or you've sent me emails or I can just see it. For many of you here this morning, God is working in your life in big ways or in just small ways or in subtle ways or in some brand new ways right now. And so we want to take the next 3 weeks leading up to Easter in some ways because there couldn't be a better time than Easter to be doing this this big kind of scary thing that we're talking about letting our friends know about Jesus, right? We want to take the next 3 weeks to help you discover some simple and yet powerful ways to let others know around you about the things that God is doing in you. And despite what we might think, this is really something that every single one of us can do. Most of us assume this is a job for someone else, right? We assume this kind of work is for pastors or for missionaries or for super Christians like Billy Graham or Tim Tebow. We think that's what they do. That's not what I do. You're going, hey, Stan, that's what you do, but that's not what I do. But this morning in week one of this brand new message series, I want us to see that this kind of work, this kind of thing is actually something all of us can do. It can be done by any one of us here this morning in the most simple and yet powerful ways. And we're going to discover one of those ways when we start to examine the story this morning of a tax collector named Levi. Levi meets Jesus, and he immediately gets his friends in on the action. And when we see what we see from Levi teaches us a really valuable lesson about how we can do the very same thing in our life and with our friends. And so the gospel writer Luke, he's one of the four guys who wrote about Jesus' life and ministry on earth. Luke writes about Levi's story, and it's found in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Here's what he writes. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. And so Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, really quickly, what's important to remember here, what's important to know if this is something that you didn't know, is that tax collectors in Jesus' day were not very popular dudes, okay? They were dishonest crooks who became wealthy by cheating people out of their hard-earned money. And so especially among the religious leaders, among like the religious top dogs, these tax collectors were simply no good. They were officially on the naughty list, okay? These tax collectors. But Jesus wasn't like most religious leaders. And so he calls Levi, this tax collector, to come and be his disciple anyway. And what's interesting here, if I can just stop for a second, what's interesting here is that he makes the very same invitation to Levi as he does to the four fishermen that he calls to be his very first followers, right? His closest of buddies. He makes the very same invitation to Levi, this tax collector, as he does to these guys. He says, come and follow me. And it's such a picture-perfect reminder to me that one's position, one's social status, or even one's shady reputation is not a liability when it comes to receiving and responding to Jesus' call, okay? And Levi receives this call, and he responds to it, okay? So let's find out exactly how he responds, okay? What will be his very first step as a freshly minted first-time follower of Jesus? What does he do next? Here's verse 29. Then Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as his guest of honor. Dude throws a party. Right? With his wealth, I'm guessing that it was a pretty good one too. Right? That's the very first thing that he can think to do is throw a party. And guess who's on the guest list at this party, right? He wasn't exactly like BFF with the religious A-listers in that day. And so he invites maybe in his mind, like, well, the next best thing, all of his tax collecting buddies. Goes on to say this, many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. So this is, you can imagine, like a real highbrow kind of event happening here. But let's take a look at how all the religious leaders feel about this. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Okay, who you associated with in this day, it was a very big deal. It said something about who you thought and considered to be acceptable, who you thought had worth, who you thought had value and significance. And so clearly in their perspective, this kind of thing was like a no-no for Jesus, right? But Jesus always has an answer for his critics, and this moment is no different. Here's verse 31. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And so I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. This is such a beautiful picture to me of who Jesus is. If we can just focus here for a second. It's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is and what it is he came to do. In many ways, it highlights to me what is unique about Christianity when you start to compare it to many other faith traditions, right? Most other religions are a result of our search for God, right? What we can do to kind of close the gap between us and God. But Christianity, on the other hand, presents itself as God's search for us. And that's what Jesus came to do, to search for us. And that's exactly what he's done with Levi, okay? And it's Levi's response then to this invitation that I want us to focus in on. It's his response to his friends that I want us to pay close attention to because it teaches us how we should respond, how we could respond to what Jesus is maybe doing in us as well. So let's review, okay? Jesus calls and Levi responds. And his very first act as a follower of Jesus is to throw a party for Jesus with his friends. Invited to this party are Levi's notorious band of tax collecting buddies whom the religious leaders in that day wouldn't have given the time of day. Right? And here's a notorious sinner himself, Levi, right? Here's a notorious sinner himself whose life takes a total turn because of Jesus, who now cannot wait to share Jesus with the friends of his former circle. And so what's happening here is what I want us to pay close attention to. What has Levi done? He has now repurposed and redirected his resources to reveal his new relationship with Jesus to his friends. Very first thing he can think to do, throw a party for Jesus with his friends. He redirects and he repurposes his resources to reveal his new relationship with Jesus to his friends. He's using what he has to reach those that he loves. And in doing so, he's pointing them to a different type of religious leader, one who seeks out those who have been separated from God. Okay? And one of the most simple things that we can do, right? One of the first things that we can do to spread the word to others in our life is to do the very same thing. It's as simple as this. You use what you have to reach those that you love, right? Levi throws a party. He's a wealthy man who uses his resources to throw a party for Jesus with his friends, right? You use what you have to reach those that you love. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to, you know, to go to seminary. You don't have to be a Bible expert or a missionary or, you know, write a sermon. You don't have to go to evangelism training or pass out little Bible pamphlets or stand on the street corner with a megaphone telling people about Jesus. You don't have to, you know, like turn your back on your family or ditch all of your old friends. You don't have to start a Bible study in your home or host like a worship music only jam session at your house. You can do some of that stuff if you want, but you don't have to do any of that. You just have to do what Levi does. You repurpose and you redirect your resources to reveal your new relationship with Jesus. You use what you have to reach those that you love. At its very essence, at its very simplest, that's what Jesus has asked us to do. You use what you have to reach those that you love. All of us here this morning, folks,
All of us here have resources of all shapes and sizes and kinds and quantities, right? You have some resources that are unique to you, resources that God has given you of your very own. And the question is, right, the question is, how will you use what you already have to reach out to those that you already know and that you already love? Some of you here this morning, you have financial resources, and that's not the only kind of resource, but it's one of them. And some of you here this morning have financial resources that most don't. Using what you have to reach those that you love can be as simple as saying to your neighbors or to your coworkers who you know are in a time of need, it can be saying, hey, you know what? God has been generous to us, and so we want to be generous to you. Hey, can we buy your groceries this week? Hey, I don't know. Hey, let us take care of your rent this month. Or, hey, we heard about the car and we heard about the position that that's put you in. Why don't you send us the bill and we'll take care of it for you, right? You say, hey, God's been generous to us and we want to be generous to you, right? Some of you this morning, and I'm just, listing off a bunch of things here. It may apply to you, it may not, but some of you here this morning, you've got a vacation home at the lake or in the mountains or on the beach, and using what you have to reach those that you love, it might be as easy as saying to others in your life, hey, God has blessed us with this place and we want to figure out some way to be a blessing to you. Could we send you away for the night, or could we send you away for the weekend, or for the week, right? We'd love for you to get away. We'd love for you to breathe or to recover or to heal or to recharge or to refocus. God has blessed us. We just want to be a blessing to you. Right? Some of you have God-given abilities, right? It's still a resource that you have, but you have God-given abilities that God gave to you so that you could help other people in your life and reach out to other people and make a difference in the lives of other people in your life, right? You have God-given abilities. You can fix cars or broken fences or leaky faucets or flickering lights, right? You can build handrails and wheelchair ramps or rebuild barns or backyard swing sets. Use those skills to reach those that you love, right? So some of you have skills that are different. You have the ability to pray like nobody else can do. You have the ability to pray or to counsel or to listen well or to care well. Whatever it is, right, you use those skills to reach those that you love or to reach those that live next door to you or to reach those that you went to high school with. Right, for some of you, the one resource that you have right now, you're going, hey, Stan, I don't have a whole lot. But the one thing that you do have is time. It's the one resource that you have right now. That's the resource that you have to redirect or to repurpose. For whatever reason, you're in a season of your life right now where you have time to give to others. Use it. Use that time to reach those that you love, right? Babysit their kids or cook dinner and drop it off for them. Invest into one of their teenagers or to a teenager that you know. Take them out once a week and buy them coffee or buy them lunch and listen to them. Sit with them. Invest in them. Pour into them. Answer questions for them. Walk right alongside of them. If time is what you have, use the time that you do have to reach those that you love. Some of you, I don't know, I could just keep going here. Some of you have a boat. Use it to reach those that you love. Take them for a ride on the river. Some of you have season tickets. Use them to reach those that you love, right? Take them to the game and give them the afternoon and the memory of a lifetime. Some of you have a snowplow or a John Deere tractor. Use them to reach those that you love. Cut the grass or shovel the driveway for the single mom in the neighborhood or for the elderly couple who lives next door or for the family whose mom or dad is serving the country. Use what you have to reach those that you love. I could keep going, right? It's kind of fun to just think about all the things that you might have that you could reach. But I think you get the idea. That no matter what it is, and it doesn't have to be any of this stuff, it could be something that's coming to your mind right now. I think you get the idea that what this is all about is just using what you have to reach those that you love. And so the question is for you right now, maybe to think about today or think about this week, who is it in your life? Who is it in your class? Who is it in your conference room or in your neighborhood that you could reach out to with what it is that you already have? Who could you reach out to with what it is that you have. You see, when we set out to plant this church, we set out with one mission in mind, to reach more people for Jesus. And if that's going to happen and continue to happen year after year after year, not just in year one or in year two, but if that's going to happen here and going to continue to happen year after year in Hudson and in River Falls and in Spring Valley and in Roberts and in Baldwin and in Somerset and in New Richmond, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because all of us are willing to use what it is that we have, what God has given us, to reach those that we love, to reach those that live across the street, and to reach those whose office is across the hall. And in a room like this, with a group like this, I imagine that we have quite the list of resources that we could use to reach quite a lot of people around us. And so let's repurpose and redirect and refocus those resources that we have to reveal to others the relationship that we have or that we are starting with Jesus, and point to them. Point them to the one who came in search for us. Let me pray for us. God, we're grateful for this morning and for all that's happened, and God, for the celebration that's taken place here and for the kids that are coming before you, God. We give you thanks for that. But we also, God, we give you thanks for being a God who came in search of us, who sent your son Jesus to find us, to seek us, to call us out. And God, for those of us who have kind of received that call and who have responded to it, help us to see in our own lives, God, those places that we can start to let others in on this relationship that we have with you. God, if we're nervous or if we're scared or if we're uneasy about the whole thing, help us to identify people and places in our lives where we just simply take a step to use what we have to reach those that we love. God, this week, would you help us to have eyes to see those people? And would you help us to identify in us what it is that we have to reach out to offer to this world, to offer to our neighbors and to our coworkers and to our friends and family. And God, and in doing these things, we pray that our lives would be lived in such a way that we are just constantly pointing people around us to the one who came in search of us. God, what a gift that we are so grateful for. And we ask that you would help us to point more and more people to you in all that we do. We pray these things in your name. Amen.